the following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Week, it's Extreme Home Makeover, a family edition, all right? So, and as our text for this series for the next several weeks, I've chosen Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. And it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, thank you that we are in your presence even now. You said that if two or more would gather together in your name, that you would be here in the midst of us, right in the middle of what we're doing. Father, even as John discovered in the book of Revelation, when he said that he saw you in the midst of the seven candlesticks that represented the church, showing us that you're right in the middle of what's going on. And Father, I wouldn't be like this guy in the little story about asking to help me preach better, Lord. I know you'll just take care of that, but I would ask you to open the understanding of each of us that we might hear what it is that you would say to us this morning. Not what I have to say, but what you have to say. And I ask you to open us up, Father, and pour into us words of life that will transform the way that we think, the way that we reason, the way that we live, that every aspect of our lives would be transformed by the Word of God. As you said so aptly in the Scriptures, that our minds might be renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. Let it happen today, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I told you last week, and so I want to recap some of the things I said last week when I didn't get to finish the sermon, that God had a plan, and his plan was about families. It's always been that way, all right? God's the original father of the bride, if you will. He's the one who had family on his mind when he created Adam and Eve and gave them all of this instruction, and it was his plan to do things a little differently than the way they turned out. What happened was God had a plan that he made Adam and Eve. He wanted families that looked like him. All right? He wanted male and female. He wanted people that were blessed. He wanted the people that were fruitful. He wanted the people that would multiply. He wanted the people that would rule the earth. And then we took it. We got our own spiritual hammer and nails out, and we built our own family, and it doesn't look much like what he intended. It's kind of like when I was a boy, I want to make sure, do you have any teenagers in here? If you do, don't listen to me right now, right? We needed to build a clubhouse, and we were some teenage boys, and we didn't have any money, and we didn't have any wood, but we had a lot of desire. And it just so happened we were living in a subdivision where they were building new houses. Well, of course they had extra wood that they weren't using because we saw it in big stacks all over the place. So we appropriated the wood to build our clubhouse. The clubhouse wasn't quite the quality of the houses, but it had about as much wood in it. We built a 6x6x6 clubhouse. It wasn't much to look at, but it was our home. And that's kind of the way we are. Instead of being quality builders of family, we're going into the clubhouse building business. And it doesn't look like much. And it's built on the wrong premises and the wrong reasons for even having it. But, you know, we've done that. And now we've got this messed up, rickety old family life and we wonder, well, I wonder what's wrong. Duh. You know, it's because we're taking and changed God's original plan for us as a family. So in the next several weeks, we're going to talk about some things. Last week, we began with a series, the sermon, Why Father Knows Best, and we're going to talk about that today. Next week, hopefully, we're going to talk about who's the boss. Who's the boss? We already got a good word about that from Regina, you know. Who's the boss, all right? And Greg, who's the boss? Well, we're going to find out next week who the real boss is. Following week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about how love grows. Is it growing or is it waning? Is it better or worse than when you started out? And what is this thing called love? And finally, the last sermon that I have planned is about doing a financial makeover. We've got some financial problems, and part of the reason we have financial problems is because we tried to build things on the wrong financial foundation, all right? So we're going to talk about that in some detail. So, why Father Knows Best, okay? And let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son and daughters, okay, I'll put that in there, to your father's instructions and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn in your neck. My sons and daughters, I've added and daughters, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. I told you last week, most of us realized around the age of 21 how smart our parents were. You know, they just suddenly gained in wisdom, didn't they? They say, oh man, Papa was smarter than I thought he was. Mama knew more than I gave her credit for. Because when you start, when the cares of life as young adulthood slips in, we begin to realize how smart our parents really were. I told you about my dad. My dad is an interesting guy. I wish you could have met him here on planet Earth. You'll get to meet him in heaven if you go. If you don't, I'm sorry. You not only won't see Jesus, you won't see my dad either, all right? But he was an interesting guy. Came from a large family, a large Italian family. We're an immigrant family, and my grandfather came here from Italy. And as a result, they lived on a farm. They had, I think, 11 children. The only way they could eat was to work. And when he was in fourth grade, he didn't finish fourth grade. Papa San Angelo said to little Angelo, Angelo, stop all this tomfoolery of going to school every day. Get out there in the field where you belong and go to work. And so my dad did, all right? So he didn't have any formal education. He spoke a lot of broken English. But he had some good value system that he picked up along the way. And my dad never asked for my love. Never asked me to love him. In fact, he never asked for my respect. He never asked for my admiration. He asked one thing of me. In fact, he demanded one thing of me, and that was obedience. He said, this is the way it goes in the San Angelo home. And boy, anytime you don't like it, the door is open. And you know what? That little brown-eyed, short Italian guy meant every word of it. I was telling Rick, I think it was yesterday, or someone I was telling yesterday, that my daddy looked me dead in the eye when I was a young boy, young man, you know, to teenagers. And he looked me dead in the eyes. He said, boy, don't ever get arrested because I'm not coming to get you. And I can't tell you how many times I was on the verge of doing something that could have got me in trouble. And I heard those broken English words echo in my ear. Don't get arrested because I'm not coming to get you. You know what? I'd still be in jail. Papa wasn't coming, all right? He demanded my obedience. This is the way it's going to be. And if I didn't do it his way, he appropriated the punishment necessary to make sure that I followed Angelo's rules, all right? And if I've accomplished anything in life, I owe it to two fathers. I've had two fathers. I owe it to my earthly father who taught me some good values about being a good man, and my heavenly father who taught me how to be a good spiritual man, all right? My dad didn't know about spirituality until he was an older man, and I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord when he was 65 years old. So, but Daddy demanded my obedience. You know what he got? He got my love, he got my respect, and he got my admiration. And I admire him to this day. And I wish he was here that I could show him to you, all right? So you could meet him and know what he did for me. That's what a good family will do. I'm very fortunate that I didn't come up in a broken family. We were poor, you know. Poor won't hurt you. It won't hurt you to be poor. Believe me, I grew up poor. Now, I'm going to tell you, Pat doesn't believe this story, but I'm telling you God's truth. We were so poor that my mother would make weenie stew. During the week, we'd eat the broth, and on Sunday, we ate the weenies. That's the way I remember it. We didn't have any money, but we had lots of love. I didn't have all the toys that kids have today. I didn't have an iPod or no pod or any kind of pod. The only kind of pod I had was the one I lived in. It was a house pod. You know? I didn't need it, and I turned out all right. So I'll just tell you that, parents, right away. Daddies, you don't need to worry about making all the money in the world. Take care of your kids. Just take care of your wife and your kids, and that's good enough. And your kids will be happy. They won't know they grew up poor. They won't know. That's what my daddy did for me. This TV show, Father Knows Best. I talked to you about that last week. I love that picture, don't you? Yeah, it is one of the great TV programs of the 50s. And what I liked about it is that the final authority was Dad in the house. And he was always right. My daddy was right when he was wrong. Didn't matter whether he was wrong. He was right. Because he was there. And that's what that show did. And mothers respected their father. And they made sure that the kids did too. Always talk good about daddy. You'll never find in this TV program that mom ever talked bad about dad. Or never tried to undercut his authority. You know, she always respected him, and so the children did the same. And the children subjected themselves to pop. And what I liked about that program, and you can get some of these off the internet, and you can get them other places and go look at them just for fun, but at the end of the program, Father always knew best. He always knew best. He was always right. They lived in a black and white world. It was right or it was wrong. And I told you last week, we've come along with our water paints and our oil colors and our pastels, and we've painted a new world with colors where right isn't right anymore and wrong isn't wrong anymore, and it's not my fault, it's your fault. And we've got all these things, and we've destroyed the fabric of our family. The one basic unit that God created in Adam and Eve, and we've turned it around in some kind of, I don't even know what it is anymore. Black and white. Last week I started off by telling you the first point of my sermon was, Father knows that Jehovah knows best. And it's a black and white world, and I love these black and white pictures to highlight that for you. And if in the passage of Scripture, to go back into what we read a little earlier, the fear of the Lord, and that's Jehovah, is what it means, Jehovah God, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Anything in this world, pay attention. Pay attention. All right, why don't you listen to this? I said this last week, but I know I cannot over-communicate because some of you forgot already. Anything in this world that is devoid of God is a playground for fools. If it's devoid of God, it's a playground for fools. You'll end up looking foolish. Scriptures talk about fools all the time. People are foolish. Fool. Thou fool. You fool. You say this kind of thing. A fool is someone who's devoid of the presence and the knowledge of God. The Scripture says there's a way that seems right unto a man. The ways of that way are the ways of death. It kills our family. It kills our relationships. It murders our children. We have children. These foster children. You know why we got them? Because they don't have godly mothers and daddies, for the most part. They teach them the right thing. We learned yesterday, and Regina talked about the impact that little kids get when they live in an abusive home, a place where you don't have God leading, and they carry that with them all the days of their lives. They never get away from it. The lady who came here from the foster care program said, we can help, we can do some fixing, but some of those things that have been broken when they were kids are going to be with them all their lives. Some of you may be the product of that. Some of you right here, you might be dealing with things in your own life that happened to you when you were just a little tight because you didn't have a godly family to back you up. Well, we're going to break those generational curses. We're not going to let those things continue on because God can intervene. You see, God can do what sociologists say can't be done. God can change you, make you different, make you think different, make you act different. God can do that. Brand new life. God is able to do that. We've taken the God out of the government. Lord knows what we got now. In Louisiana, most of our politicians are in jail. You want to see the governor, just go to jail. You'll find them there. Insurance commissioners, they're all there, you know. Whole line of them. I had Percy tell me one day, Percy was involved in the political system down in New Orleans for many years, and he said he had to get out. He had to get out because he saw where it was going. Thank God he got out. Had enough sense to get out. I'm not saying everybody in it's bad, but I'll tell you what, it got so many bad ones, it's hard for the good ones to raise their hand and say amen. Need to pray for godly people in politics. We've taken God out of the family, and look at the results. Divorce is rampant. Children can't do anything. They don't even know who they are. Kids don't know right from wrong. We talk about they don't have a moral compass. Here's the real scary part. They don't know there is a compass. Nobody's told them. I'll give you a good example of that. You know, I told you, Pat and I do a lot of family counseling. And it was at one time when we would counsel people, and if people had had premarital sex, I used the S word, all right? People who had premarital sex, usually after they were married for a while, most women, and some guys, but mostly women, had guilt about it. It used to really bother them. You know, and it was something that they really didn't know. They didn't talk to their husband about, really didn't know how to deal with, you know. And we found that sometimes that caused problems in their marriage. And one of the issues that I would deal with in counseling session was I just asked him, did you have sex before you got married? Or sometimes they just volunteered. I wouldn't even have to ask. They say, yeah. So we need to get that straightened out right now and ask God for forgiveness. Ask your husband to forgive you for giving in. Ask the husband to forgive the wife for the way he acted and forced himself, at least emotionally, on her, and had to get that resolved. And you got resolved, and it was a healing that took place in their relationship. If that's you, by the way, I suggest that you do that. But you know what we found with the younger people? When we talk to younger couples now, and we bring that issue up, and, you know, did you all stay together, live together before you got married? I said, yeah. I said, do you think that maybe that's an issue that you all need to confess and get right with? And they say, no. See what happens? Broke the compass. Nobody told them. They don't understand. They just buried it away. So that's some of the sociological changes that are taking place in our family because of things that go on. I'm not going to go too far with that, but I just wanted to bring that subject up for you. We need godly fathers who will set the standard. You know the best thing you can do, Dad? The best thing you can do, you can say, I'm your earthly father, but we're following our heavenly father. Amen. You know, it's not by accident that God refers to himself as father. You know what fathers do? They birth you, and then they provide for you, they watch over you, they give you protection, they give you guidance, they give you everything you need. That's what our heavenly father does for us. But unfortunately, most men have abdicated that. We're biologically able to bring kids into the world, and we get so busy running around having life, whatever it is, that we've left our blooming kids behind. Thinking that they got to have all the stuff that we want to provide for them. Well, you know, I've work hard and I provide for my family. I can't tell you how many times Pat and I have sat down with families to talk about family problems and I hear a man will say this, well, I'm a good provider. I work real hard. I go to work every day and I provide for my family. And I make sure they got clothes and they got food and they got the stuff they need. What's the matter with that woman? You know what's the matter with that woman? She don't care! What she wants is you. She don't need a bigger car or a bigger house. She needs a bigger husband. Somebody that's there for her. Yeah, some of you guys are older. You know I'm telling you the truth because you've got some regrets about it. And you younger ones need to do something about it now. You don't need to work 80 hours a week to take care of your family. They'll be happy just doing what you can do. You know, make some decisions for your family. I told Virginia she was going to hear some of her stuff back today. But, you know, she talked about that issue. It's serious. You got those kids here. You got that family. You take care of them. No responsibility. You need to do that. But emotionally, not just physically. I mean, you need to work and take care of your family. I'm not saying everybody walk out here and say, oh, well, baby, I'm not working anymore. We're going to live on love. You'll find another scripture says, them that don't work, don't eat. All right? Don't come to me. I'm not feeding you more than once. I'll give you one meal. That's all you get at my house. And I hope you like frozen food because that's all I'm giving you. That was last week's sermon. Are you ready for this week's sermon? I got two more points to go. I got so much about family I can say that I don't need notes or anything. I just go on ad infinitum just telling you stuff. Just giving you illustrations out of things that I've seen. But the second thing that I want to talk about this morning is that fathers know that parents know best. Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. You know that I really read that wrong. You know how it should be read? Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Don't forsake your mama and her teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And if you don't, there'll be a paddle to take care of your rear end. That's in there. I know it's in there. I just can't find the chapter and verse on it. But I know it's in there. Parents need to be in charge of their families. Parents, you need to be in charge of your families. Parents need to learn the first word that every child born from Adam till today has learned. You know what parents need to learn? You know what that word is? No! You need to say no to your kids. Them little manipulators can get anything they want out of you until you learn to say no. They know how to play you like a pinball machine. That's an ancient thing for a game that they play with, you know, the Wii machine or something, right? Shows you how old I am, a pinball machine. Some of the young people say, huh? What do you say? What's a pinball machine? Never heard of that. Same kids don't know what a clothespin is either. Parents need to invest themselves in their kids' world. All right, I'm fixing to make some of you mad, but I don't care. I've had more people mad at me so many times in my life. One more being mad won't hurt me. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
And if you're listening on the CD on this thing or on the internet, in case you're not here in the auditorium, you can get mad. It's all right. You need to get involved in your kids' world, and that doesn't mean taking them to soccer games or football games or swimming games and driving yourself crazy being a soccer mom and dad. You need to get involved in those kids' world. We've created a world that you can't even live in, much less the kids. Well, they got to go here. They got to go there. Woohoo! It's burning up the wheels on the car, taking them everywhere. Just stay home and talk to the little critters. Make your own fun. You don't need organized sports to have fun. We just dump them off. You're driving someplace, dump them off. Let the soccer coach take care of them. And then you read, a year later, the soccer coach is a child pervert. And you dump your kids there. They didn't have any organized sports to go to. That turned out fairly good. Say amen, Summer.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. All right. I just want to make sure Summer gave me an amen. I'm not opposed to those things, But we're involved in those kinds of things with our children to such an extent that we've neglected the more important thing, and that's spending time in their world. What are your kids thinking? What are they doing? Do you know anything about them? What are they watching? What are their movies? What is their TV? God forbid the internet. You ought to make sure if you've got a computer in your house that that internet computer is where you can look at it while they're looking at it. And kids are pretty smart. I was up visiting my grandchildren and their parents. I didn't care about the parents, but the kids were worthwhile going to see. I hope he's not listening to this. He'll never invite me back. I found out the kids have their own code words. You know, they got these little computer things that they were playing with all the time, and then text messaging their friends. It's POS is a code word. You know what that means? Parent over shoulder. If you ever see your kid doing that on the text message and they put POS, that means they don't want the other one to send any message over. They don't want a parent to hear. They got their own little shortcuts to do those kinds. They're pretty smart little critters. You know, they'll find a way of getting around. You got to get involved in their world. Learn what they're doing. Who are their friends? Bring their friends over. Get involved. And I don't want to talk about this too long, but if you've got a daughter and she's dating some guy, you make sure that he knows that anything goes wrong, he's dead. Just explain the rules, Dad. It's okay. It's okay. I put a couple of them on the car hood when I was raising my daughter. Let them know how serious it was. It wasn't nothing to mess around with me. I'm a dangerous man. You fool with my daughter, you're dead. I'd go to jail. I don't care. It'd be worth it to me. But you're not going to mess with my daughter. Be a protector over your family and over your wife. I remember one time, this has been years ago, Pat was flying in. We lived in Houston. She was flying back home, and I went to the airport to pick her up. And when I got to the airport, there was, I was waiting for the baggage like you normally do. And I noticed some guy over there just kind of looking at Pat. That's all right to look at her. She's an attractive woman, you know. But he looked too long, you know. And I got in between them. I purposely stood in between them so that he couldn't look. And I noticed that he kind of moved around from the side where he could look some more. Well, he did that three times. So three's enough. You know, you get to three? Three was it. And I went up to him. I got nose to nose. I said, what are you looking at? And he said, what? I said, you're looking at my wife. I said, you keep looking at her like that, you're going to find yourself on this floor, buddy. And he said, I'm not looking. I said, yes, you are. Don't you lie to me. You get away from here. And he sashayed away. Is he new? Now, if the guy would have been 6'5", 200 pounds, I might have backed off a little bit. But I knew I could take him. But I protected my wife. I made sure. Watch over your children. Be that protector. That's my job. I protect her. I protect my daughter. Protect my kids. You don't want to mess with my family. You find out. I got some old Italian heritage that goes all the way back to the mafia. We can be dangerous, all right? We can be dangerous. An offer he couldn't refuse. But being involved in your children's world, be a God father. And I don't mean that in the Italian sense, but a God father. Displaying godly characteristics in your family and involved in it. You must invest time in your kids' world. Now I'm going to take the liberty to do something a little bit different. We're going to take about 10 minutes to do this. I want to fuss at you, but because I'm not a fussy person, I'm not going to fuss at you. But you should have been here yesterday. Every one of you should have been here yesterday. That's not fussy. It was really, really good. Next time we're going to charge $100 a head for them to come, and they'll all want to come, Regina. We'll make some money off the deal. Regina and Rick did a phenomenal job. And I asked Regina to come and share a little excerpt of something that I thought was very important. So, Regina, you can come up here. And this mic on the podium actually works. And I think you'll be able to just talk right here for a few minutes. And y'all can hear what Regina had to say. Pass the collection basket, will you?
Well, first of all, I want to preface this with everything I say is because I have children. And getting three this year within a six-month period has really stretched me, and I've had to learn a lot. So let me say this. If you're not learning from your children, regardless of their age, you're not looking at something right, okay? So the first thing I want to start off with is the perfect example of parenting, because God gave it to us. Everything that we need to know, He has supplied the answer if we look for it. Most of the time we're too busy asking someone else who's not doing it right what we need to do. So if we go to the Word and we look at about the first four chapters of Genesis, we see exactly how parents should be, because God is our parent. But in Genesis 2:15, He says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Now, what God told us is several things about a parent, and just about God in general, but our Heavenly Father. And that is, He provides for us. He gave them the Garden of Eden. What a wonderful place. They wanted for nothing. They had it all. They had it all. And being a good God, He wants us to be able to show that we love Him and appreciate Him. And He decided to put something right in the middle of the garden and say, "I've given you everything. I've showed you my love. I've created you so that you can be with me and we can just commune with each other and just be part of each other's lives. And it'll just be wonderful. I'll supply your every need. But there's one thing that you can't do." So right away we learn that Jesus is good to us, wants the best for us. And yet He put a boundary of what we could not do. A lot of our problem, and especially with foster children, a lot of their problem is they've never had not the first boundary. They don't know what that is. And that's why they are. But then I look at our families, not to pick on anybody. I don't have biological children. I only have my foster children, and I'm blessed with that. But some of us that have biological children have not set boundaries because we feel like we're being too hard.
Yeah.
Don't come to my house because you'll think I'm killing my kids. I'm pretty hard on them. You know, I expect them to mind. Now, that's not my job per se, but my job is to set boundaries. And we talked yesterday about keeping those boundaries safe. And another thing that parents can do is influence our children. And so the next slide tells us how to persuade and influence our children. And, you know, it's just like with Jesus. We need to love them. We need to support them. But we need to provide for them, but we need to set expectations for them. If God didn't know that they could have said no to the tree, no to the serpent, to partake of the tree, He wouldn't have put it there.
Amen.
They had the will to say no. And we have the will to expect our children to make certain decisions, okay? So we need to coach them, we need to teach them. We need to give them the tools to accomplish those things. But what we don't need to do is not take the time to set expectations for them. I was watching a movie one day, and the reason I put this picture in there, it was a little girl. She was 8 or 9 years old. And her horse, she loved horses, and her whole family had this ranch. And there was a pony named Miss Lily. I couldn't remember that yesterday, but it's Miss Lily. And so she would go into the barn, and she would feed it and take care of it, and she was going to ride it in the Nationals in her little division of her age group. She kept begging her mom, though, to be able to ride the big horse named Possum. She loved Possum. And her mom said, "No, you can't, because, you know, you're too little. You can't do that just yet." And the reason I say this, we need to look at our child. Not all children are the same. Not all have the same expectations. Not all need the same push to get them to be encouraged to do something that they want to do. And this lady, she, you know, kept saying, "No, you can't ride Possum. You need to be kind to Miss Lily. You're going to ride her in the Nationals." And it went on, and finally the mom, her life was a wreck, and she was talking to somebody, one of her friends, and she had made a statement. She said, "Well, it comes from always keeping your expectations low." And when she said that, she thought to herself about her daughter and how she did not want her daughter to always keep her expectations low. You know, sometimes we forget, too, that our Heavenly Father provides everything. If we don't teach our children to expect things from God, you know, we cheat them out of blessings and of a relationship with God. So where's the source of the problem? I think the pastor's already talked about that. But no, it is not your child. Get that out of your head.
Amen.
Your child has gotten that way because of you. I'm sorry, but it's because of you. We have
a lifestyle, and we expect our child to live that lifestyle. We've chosen that lifestyle. And today, unfortunately, it's being selfish. We want what we want when we want it. And then we wonder why we have the Walmart kids that throw the fits. And I call us on Thursday night Walmart Christians. Mm-hmm. Because we do that with God. We throw a fit. Well, I ain't going to serve you no more because you did that. We're the Walmart Christians. God forgive us. And then we wonder why our children are the way we are. Our divorces that we have in our families. And you know, divorces is hard. It is. Making those decisions. Sometimes they're legitimate reasons. It still affects those children. Remarriages. It may be the best remarriage in the world. But I'm sorry, it affects that child. You know? And so you need to look at that. And you need to understand that child has emotional needs, developmental needs, and you need to be addressing them. Not just expecting them to come along beside of you at 30, 40 years old and act the way you would act. Because they're a child. They're a child. So we have generational curses. We do have unforeseeable things that affect our children, like loss of a parent, maybe a move to a different city, things like that that you just can't foresee. But lack of God's direction for our lives is the issue.
Yes.
Even as Christians, I'm sorry, but it is. What problems do we face today? Christians, our children are not listening. They throw their temper tantrums. They want what they want when they want it. But again, you know, sometimes when we do spankings, I'm kind of throwing a little temper tantrum too because my child ain't listening to me and I want him to. So where do they learn to throw those tantrums? We've got to really evaluate ourselves. I was really alarmed by the high school dropout rate for the United States. It's actually about 48% or graduation rate. So more than 50% of our high school students, seniors, or even they make there, are not even graduating. Guys, we've got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. Okay, Jim. And the last slide is just, what's the demand on us? Well, I'm telling you, it's to get rid of yourself. This is hard, and I've had to do it. You know, Rick and I were married 25 years. Long time we prayed for a child, and we had four. God's got a sense of humor. You know, and we really had to change after 25 years of marriage just being the love bugs that long. You know, you didn't see us anywhere unless we was holding hands and doing all that stuff. Yeah, it was just wonderful. And then they came. You know, our lives cannot be the same. Cannot be the same. I want to share with you a statistic that I found out when I first got Jordan. And basically it was family meals, the importance of family meals. 85% of children that sit down every single night with the family to eat, it reduces by 85% of their chances of getting into drugs, alcohol, all this stuff that they don't need to be in because they feel connected. They feel a part of something. And I want to ask you how many of you have family meals. Because we've got jobs, we've got schedules, we've got. It can't happen. It can't happen. Our children are important. So your wants and needs are not very important, I'm sorry to say. And if you want them to be, we might have should have thought about not having children. You know? So you are required to make a lifestyle change when you have a child in your home. And it's not to punish you. It is to cherish the calling God's placed on your life to raise that little vessel of honor for Him.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
That's a sample of what you missed. And I don't intend to embarrass Regina by saying this, but she's not just a mom telling you stuff. She's got credentials to back her up. She has a doctorate in veterinary medicine. She's a vet. And she's got a PhD in human development. Is that the right word? Yeah, human development. And she's got credentials a mile long. The gal puts together things not just out of emotion, but out of knowledge and wisdom. And what we had yesterday was phenomenal. I'd encourage you we're going to put it on CD so you can pick that up. But I intend to have Regina do that again. I don't know when, but it was good enough that we as a group need to hear it. So it's very, very good. But the principles that children need is they need instructions. You need to tell them what to do and show them how to do it. Tell them what to do and show them how to do it. They need wisdom. They need to see you seeking God for wisdom. be praying. Be a prayer. Let your children, whether they're adult children or whether they're tiny children, see you praying and asking God for wisdom and admitting when you're wrong. If you made a mistake, fess up and say, I was wrong about that. So that your kids will know that you're a real person. And they need discipline. And she just talked about that. It needs to be age appropriate. And it comes a day. Comes a day you got to cut the apron strings. The day these kids need to grow up. And some of you who are taking care of adult children, they ought to be taking care of you.
Amen.
Comes a day. Did I hear that amen back there? Comes a day that you got to say it's time to fly out of the nest. Mom and daddy ain't putting up with you anymore. You're a grown adult. It's time to grow up and do adult stuff. So there is a time to cut the apron string. And I know some of you said, oh, well, I can't put little Johnny and little Susie out the house. They'll be children all their lives if you won't let them grow up. And if they won't grow up, do the eagle thing. Off the cliff, baby. They'll fly. They'll be okay. But they'll never be okay as long as you're nursemaiding them. Amen?
Amen.
That's kind of weak, but I got an amen out of you. Take responsibility seriously and invest yourself in your kids. What's wrong with our families, as Regina said, is us. It's not the children, it's us. We're the ones who didn't follow God's plan. All right, number three. Fathers know that bad company is not best. They know that. Bad company is not best. Proverbs 1:10. My son and our daughter, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. The people that you hang around with influence your behavior, whether you're 5 or 55 or 95. The people you hang around with influence your behavior, be it good or be it bad. If you take a glass of clear water, which I have some right here. I think I'll take a little drink while it's still clear. And you put some red magenta dye in that baby, what's going to happen to it? It's going to turn red. That's the same thing that happens to our lives. Doesn't take much to poison the whole group. Biblically, it takes a little leaven to leaven the whole loaf. So the people you hang around with will influence you. You hang with people that have a foul mouth, guess what will happen? You'll be doing the same thing. All right, let me meddle. I meddled on this before, but I'll meddle once again with it. You need to watch your language. Their language is not appropriate for you as a believer. I don't care who's saying it. And I'm not talking about the F word. I'm talking about the other little words that we've allowed to creep into our vocabulary. And we use them all the time. It's not appropriate. It's not because it's the year 2008. It was vile and foul when it first was used, and it's still vile and foul today. And it ought not be coming out of your mouth. I'm telling you the truth. Well, it's acceptable in society. There's a lot of things acceptable in society. You want to live by society's rule, or you want to live by God's rule? It says, let no foul communication come out of your mouth. They're words that shouldn't be coming out of you. You hang with people that speak that way, I promise you, it won't take you long to do it. We're all susceptible to that. You hang with the thief, you'll end up stealing. I remember when I was just a kid, we used to have corner grocery stores before the advent of the mega stores. And I used to hang around a little boy, and I remember we went to the little corner grocery store, and he took a Hershey bar and put it in his pocket. I'd never seen that before, somebody steal. You know what I did? Got me a Hershey bar. And every time I go in there, I knew how to get a Hershey bar and get out with it. See? Doesn't take much, does it? Some of you probably done the same thing. Doesn't take much to influence you You hang around bad people, you end up doing bad things. Hang around with the immoral people, you're going to end up immoral. All right. Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. I know you're going to say, well, he's old. He doesn't understand the way things are today. He just doesn't understand. I know I'm old. But I'm right about this. You know where a lot of immorality comes from? Because women allow it to happen. You know why a lot of boys that I grew up with in my stone age were virgins before they got married? Because none of the girls would let them have any sex. And I'm telling you what, every man born of Adam has got sex drives. They will lie, steal, cheat. They'll say to me, I love you, baby. Oh, I love you so much. I love you. I love you forever and ever. You know what they want? They ain't looking for your love, honey. And every girl that says no and means it, there won't be any sex happening. Now, it would be great if men were responsible. And I'm not taking the responsibility for men to be responsible and honor women and not do that. But unfortunately, the biological makeup of people is such that women have better control in those areas, and they explain it. I heard somebody say, you ought to take your four big brothers with you when you go out with a guy. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Put them right there in the car seat or wherever you go. I kid Greg all the time talking about having youth groups. And it's inevitable. It's come up before. I mean, it's not the first time I had to deal with it. They talk about getting sofas. We ain't getting no sofas in this church, friend. Well, as long as we got kids, there'll never be a sofa. I don't want nobody sitting on no sofa. You sit on these chairs. That's the most comfortable thing you're going to get. And give me any trouble, we'll have wooden pews. You know? I don't want boys and girls to be comfortable. I want them uncomfortable. Because the more uncomfortable they are, the less likely you are to get in trouble. All right? And parents, you need to set the standards for your kids so that won't happen. And you know what's happened? It's gotten so cockamamie crazy today. I had a young Christian man tell me, who was about 20 years old. He said, you know what the problem with dating? He didn't date very much, and I was talking to him about that. He said, you know the problem with dating? He said, most of the girls I date want me to go to bed with them. The girls want the guys to go to bed with them. How crazy is that? You want to know why we got high school teachers sleeping with 13 and 14-year-old boys? Nobody ever set the standards for them, set the boundaries, and said, no, you can't do that. That's not good. God doesn't want you to do it. It's okay to say no. Everybody's worried about drugs. Let's just talk about the sexual revolution. Pat and I got the privilege of growing up in that 60s craziness. You know, we took God out of the schools. We took the Bible out of the school. You know, we took God out of the government. You know, this whole cockamamie idea of separation of church and state didn't show up until 1958. When somebody found an old letter that Jefferson wrote about trying to explain to a bunch of Baptists, Anabaptists was the name of the group, that the government wasn't in control of the church. And they used that stupid phrase, separation of the church and the state. And now today, oh, we can't have Jesus anywhere. We can't have God anywhere. And we suffer the consequences of that today. We need morality in our families, and we need to teach it to our kids or our grandkids, and it's never too late. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. And daddies, you need to teach your daughters how men are supposed to treat them so that they'll know. And when they go out with some boy, and he's got an inkling to put his hand on her, I'll tell you what, it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate for a boy to put his hand on your daughter's leg. On a knee. It's inappropriate. Because I promise you, if you're on the knee today, you'll be on other places tomorrow. It's the way it is. Now you might say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, I know what I'm talking about because I spent a good part of my life trying to patch up things that parents didn't teach their kids to do. You need to set the standards according to God's standards when it comes to things like morality. And if you hang around with people who do those kinds of things, and you let your children hang around with people who do those kinds of things, you'll be going down to the unwed mother's place with your daughter or with your son. It's inappropriate. Listen, friends. It's not my job to be angry or be upset, but somebody's got to tell us. Somebody's got to say it's not right. The Bible says it, but nobody's reading the Bible. Maybe they'll listen on the internet and hear my CD. Maybe you'll take it home and say, you know, we're not allowed to do that. That's not appropriate. And if you got something in your house that's causing immorality to come in, if you're being enticed, get rid of it. Take your TV set and throw it out if you need to. Follow Greg and Cherie's example. Get the Angel Network. That's pretty good. I understand. I don't have, but I understand it's pretty safe. And you see nothing but angels on it. If the internet's giving you a problem, you can fix it with a pair of pliers. Cut that baby. Cut the cable. You know? Do you know that you can live tomorrow morning without the internet? You can still breathe. You will be able to breathe. You might breathe a little better. You might get a little more sleep. You can live without that because it is. I shouldn't tell you a story, but I'll tell you a story anyway. You know that stuff comes into your computer whether you want it or not? One Sunday morning, I get up early. Every Sunday morning, I usually get up at least 6 o'clock and sometimes earlier. To pray and to go over my sermon notes that I prepared and just kind of get myself ready to come here. And I was at my computer, and this was several years ago, and out of nowhere popped up one of the most vile, pornographic pictures I've ever seen. Blew right into the screen on my TV. Here I am preparing sermons, and it showed up. I wasn't keying anything in. It had been infected by a virus that I didn't know. I hadn't been in any porn sites to get it. But those guys are out there who have this pornography trying to get people hooked, and they're blasting this stuff out. And you'll get it whether you want it or not. I recommend to you to get the best screening you can on your computer, and if the screening won't stop it, take that baby, roll over it with your car, and get rid of it. It'd be better for you to live without a TV than to go through life dealing with pornography. If your eye causes you a problem? Get rid of it. Your hand causes you a problem? Believe me, you can live with one hand. I proved it. Your foot's causing you a problem? Get rid of it. Get rid of it! Let's start now building the kind of families that God intended us to have. Now, Father knows best. And you figured out by now that I'm not talking about your earthly father. I'm talking about our heavenly Father. He knows best. And we need to look to Him for the answers, solutions, and guidelines for our lives. That's where family starts. Now, I've got a lot of other things to say in the coming weeks, but that's the number one thing about family. And I want to close with this. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Are you a godly parent? Are you? I put some pretty high standards out here today. Are you? Or have you heard me saying things and you're going, ouch? If you're going, ouch, you need to do something about it. You excusing sin? It's just the way it is? I can't help it? You know? Are you excusing your behavior with your children? Or your wife? Well, I just got so much to do. Stop doing it. Is that where you are in your life? Doing too much? Time to rethink things. Are you setting God's standards for yourself? You know one thing I've discovered? There's only one person in this world you can change. You know what it is? You. You're the only person you can change. You can't change your wife. You can't change your kids. You can set the standards. You can make the rules. I mean, if you got young kids at home, you can make them. You know, it's like a little boy, a teacher, we had him in class, and she said, he kept standing up. She went to him. She said, pushed him down the chair. She said, just sit down. And he stood up again. She pushed him, and she stood down. Made him sit down. And the third time, he got up again. She pushed him down. She said, you stay in that chair. And he says, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know, is that what's going on in your life? Are you standing up on the inside? You know, rejecting God's word? I talked about this morning in the new attendees class. Most of our problem is we don't know what this book says. We don't know. You hear me try to challenge you to it, but until you get in it for yourself, you're never going to know. You got to learn for yourself, study for yourself. I want to close. Let's all stand. You know, I've talked about behavior today, family behavior. But you know what changed my family? God did. God changed my family. I'd already been through a divorce. I was 5 years into a second marriage that was about to crash and burn. And I discovered God. Or better said, He discovered me. Honey, if your baby keeps crying, would you take him back in the crying room for just a minute if you don't mind? Thank you. The little baby doesn't know any better, but I want your attention for a few minutes, all right? It starts with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you really know him? Or is he just some kind of archaic figure that you heard about? Have you ever really invited Christ into your life? That's what Pat and I did. And when we did that, we looked at the mirror of our lives and saw how messed up it was. And when we saw that ugly picture, we decided to do something about our marriage. And when we decided to do that, things changed for us. We have a great relationship today because of Christ in our lives. And if you don't have Christ in your life, you're going to be fighting this thing and you're going to lose. So I want to invite you to receive Christ in your life, just as Pat and I did, all right? Can you turn that down just a little bit for me, Jim? We're getting some disruptions right here this morning, and I don't want any disruption. I don't want you to hear me. You need Christ in your life. I don't care how old you are. If you're 16 or 66, it doesn't make a difference. You need Christ in your life. And I want to invite you to pray with me right now. And I want to lead you in a prayer. And the Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth and just say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you will be saved. That word saved means to be rescued from a dangerous place. And I'm going to ask you all just to pray with me. And if you agree with what I'm saying, I want you to pray it earnestly and ask God to help you and come into your life, okay? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. I admit that I've done wrong. I've failed you, and I've failed myself. But right now, as best I know how, I turn from my old ways, and I turn to you. Lord Jesus, I believe that you lived, that you died at Calvary to forgive my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead so that I could have eternal life. And although I don't understand it, way that maybe I should. Right now, as best I know how, I ask you to forgive me for all I've done wrong. And I invite you into my life right now. And I receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' name. Father, you've heard these words. I've heard them, Lord, echoing in my ear in this building. And I know you've heard the hearts of some people this morning who never even knew about this before. But today, they really got it. Father, I ask you to cause this day forward to be different. This day forward to be different. So that never again will they ever wonder about whose they are. For this sin, Father, according to your word, is removed for them, taken away. Father, help them to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning, you prayed that. Maybe it's the 10th time you prayed it. Maybe this is the time you really understood it. I want you to let me know, all right? I want you to let me know. If you want to come down here, I'll pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you, but if you want to come down here, I'll just pray for you. If you have a special need, maybe you've just been going through a really hard time this week. You need somebody to pray for you. I want you to come down here, all right? Whatever your needs are. You know, if you just need somebody to pray with you, somebody to confide in, I want you to come, all right? That old song is being played right now. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. I want you to just wait just a minute while I pray for Freddie, okay?